Coffee Conversations about Influencer Marketing is brought to you by Influential, a strategic consultancy that takes the guesswork out of influencer marketing for your brand. We provide much-needed strategically crafted frameworks on how to implement influencer campaigns specific to your brand needs.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another fabulous edition of Coffee Conversations about influencer marketing. And as usual, I've got a special co-pilot in the house, and Dolly, welcome to it.
Hello, Cinti. We're back.
And obviously, we've got a very special guest, Lee. How are you?
Hi, thanks for having me, guys. How exciting. My first podcast.
Oh, is it your first?
Yes.
I hope it's not your last. you come from a very interesting subject line, and I think we most certainly would maybe like to have her back.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay, so Lee Krimble is founder of First Behavioral Linguistics Consultancy in South Africa. Your company is called Breadcrumbs. And can you tell us in a nutshell what you do? Because you bring a very nice facet to the whole notion of creating strong influencer marketing strategy.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I come from a background in behavioral science. I'm former Discovery Vitality. And sort of my whole sort of background career was about persuading people to do things that are in their best interests. In sort of the health insurance world, this meant eating well and getting active and doing all those wonderful things that Vitality nudges you to do.
Yeah.
They do have pretty big nudges.
They do, all sorts of them. And at the beginning of this year, I decided to start my own company, which is called Breadcrumbs. Okay. And we specialize in behavioral linguistics, which essentially is behavioral communication. How can you use words and language and communicate a message that compels an end user to act in some way? So essentially, how do you nudge people using language?
All right.
So can you explain to everyone what a nudge means? Because the first time I heard of it was when we had a conversation a while ago. And I think it just would give some clarification to everyone.
Sure. So in our day-to-day lives, you know, we're faced with so much sort of communication noise. And we make so many decisions in a day. In fact, the average is sort of 30 to 40,000 decisions are made on a daily basis. And of course, some of those are sort of subconscious ones that we're not really aware of. And others, you know, we have to actually make the decision quite consciously. And what I found is the best way to do this is through your communication. So if you're a brand or even just an individual trying to persuade your partner to
please teach me.
Exactly. Persuade them to do something, or if you're trying to get that promotion at work or whatever it is that you're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
You can be quite deliberate with the words that you choose to use. And we found using behavioral science principles that people respond to different things and very inherently and quite universally. So by implementing various techniques in your day-to-day language, you're going to get that promotion is basically what we say.
Cynthia, are you listening to this?
Yeah, I think before we get into how this all works, what are those techniques?
That would be done.
Can you give us five pointers?
Exactly.
So now what we do is we combine various principles. So we use sociolinguistics, which looks at how you use language in society. Okay. And I strongly believe that the language that you use shapes society, and you in turn are shaped by the language that you receive from society, whether that's spoken, whether it's print media that you're taking in, whether it's from social media. There's lots of obviously different mediums, but essentially words shape you and shape your identity and shape your ideology. And that's all sounds very theoretical and pretty up there, high level. But when you combine that with various marketing principles and certainly behavioral science, you're able to then craft very compelling communication that, to your point, Anne, it nudges. So it kind of it leads you to down a path or down a journey to ultimately get you to do some type of action.
Is the general kind of public, are they aware of nudges, or do they just think like, oh, that's a good idea, I thought of that all by myself?
So I think that the more you're aware of them, I think the more you'll see them in society, the more you'll see them in advertising.
I see them everywhere after our discussion.
No, absolutely. The incredible thing is, I mean, I'm very immersed in this world and like to think that I know the different types of nudges and what's happening and how they're being applied. But when I'm an end user myself, And I'm still very much a client of Discovery Insure and Discovery Vitality. And a lot of the times, I'm not even aware of what's happening. I just feel compelled to get that cash back, to get that discount.
Kawaii smoothie.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And in practice, how does this work? How do brands use this to influence, say, a purchase decision? Because at the end of the day, that's what it's about. So firstly, being able to influence the people that consume their services and products, and then also relaying this to influencers so that they can influence the people around their circles.
Sure. So ultimately, a brand is out there to sell something, whether it's a message, whether it's a product, whether it's a service. And you're very limited with how much sort of mind space you get to take up in a consumer's day-to-day life. As I mentioned, all those decisions, and there's a lot of clutter. In fact, there was a stat the other day that 100 billion emails are sent every single day around the world.
I think about half a billion ends up in my
Thank
inbox.
You. That's exactly what I said when I heard that. And so it's really to take the opportunity that you get to reach your client or your consumer, whether that's through an email inbox, whether that's through influencer marketing on a social media platform. You're very limited with the time you have. Mm. And so every single word counts. And my advice always to brands, to people working with influencers, to influencers themselves, craft your message very carefully using that end goal in mind, and not just spew out whatever, stream of consciousness. I mean, of course, you want to be authentic and genuine, and you want to say things that mean something to you and resonate with your audience. But I would always advise to sort of write it down, actually physically write down your whatever 40-character SMS or 160-character tweet, and look at what work each word is doing. Does it need to be there? We're very much this ease economy, and brevity is so crucial.
Yes.
So if you can get rid of an adjective or a preposition or whatever other type of word categories out there, my advice always is to try and do it.
Yeah.
And essentially have that core message, that where every single word is trying to do something to ultimately persuade.
So it's the shorter the better, but get that message across.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, great. So we've now spoken about influencers can craft their messaging pretty specific to what they need to do. But is it used in influencer marketing behavioral linguistics in South Africa in any case?
I don't think that it is being deliberately used. I think some people have a knack for using persuasive communication and just aren't aware of the sort of technicalities. Of
the science behind it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And a lot of the things that marketers do, good communicators do, already applies a lot of that thinking. Where we come in is we really just unpack it for people, and we say, well, look, you've used a pronoun there. Do you know how impactful that pronoun can be? What about you use we instead of you? So you create the sort of inclusive type of message. It's all about the framing. And the difference between a you and I and a we might seem like nothing to sort of a layperson, but you'll be surprised how persuasive those little guys in language can be.
Because it makes you feel included, right? Like you're part of the messaging when you're reading it. And then you feel special.
Yeah.
So how would behavioral linguistics be used in influencer marketing if we want to start including that? How would we go about actually briefing this into our influencers or our influencer marketers ourselves?
I think it starts with the brand messaging and positioning even before it gets to the point where it's briefed into some type of influencer channel. I think it really it takes getting around a table and unpacking what that call to action is, but also what types of like sentiment are you trying to get across with the brand positioning. And as I said, you're looking at every single word. So amazing research has shown with children when it comes to nutrition that a kid is far more likely to take a portion of, let's just say, some sort of green vegetable if it's a crunchy, snappy green pea than they are to just eat peas.
Okay.
So it's this really like trying to use language to dazzle and to excite your consumer so that you really just grab their attention and you make the words so much more compelling to them.
So it's really about weaving that magic into your marketing.
Because
marketing
magic
on its own really doesn't make sense to the consumer, isn't it?
Great. Exactly.
And so how do we get ourselves educated on behavioral linguistics?
So there are various elements that make up this principle. I'm currently studying my PhD at Fitz Business School.
She's really very smart.
Trying to get there. to really unpack what the power of behavioral linguistics, because it's really still in its sort of early development globally, very much so early development here in South Africa. My business is the first of its kind, and I've got no doubt that, you know, as it becomes more popular and people realize the power of language, I'm sure that this is going to become a lot more mainstream in the years to come. But there are various sort of step-by-step guides you can look at on my website that just take you through the various parts of language.
Okay.
An example being sentence type. How much thought do you give to whether something's a declarative sentence? So that would just be the phone is on the table, just a statement type sentence, versus is the phone on the table? Obviously interrogative question, versus the phone is on the table, exclamation mark, which is your imperative. So a silly example, but those three different sentence types really convey different meanings and messages.
Yes, also feeling.
Absolutely. So where you want to be more engaging, where you want to include someone on your journey as an influencer, I would recommend using far more question-based statements, sentence types rather. And then certainly where you want that call to action to be very powerful, your imperative exclamation-based question sentence types are great.
So, okay, it's very new in South Africa. You are our first behavioral linguist, basically, in South Africa, which is amazing. Well done.
Thank you.
Where did it come from?
So behavioral science has been there for a while. I mean, you've got some huge names in the behavioral economics space, and I think they sort of shot to popularity based on the likes of Professor Richard Thaler, who won the Nobel Prize, I think it was in 2008, for his work in behavioral economics. And it really roots from the fact that humans aren't rational, which previously, certainly in economic theory, that was how we saw people.
100%.
You don't make rational decisions. You're not we know we need to save money for the future. We know.
When I see that slab of chocolate.
Of course. And short-term goals, the short-term sort of rewards are so much more compelling to us than long-term ones. So. Yeah. And I think that's really essentially what sort of product design and services come down to. How can you convince people to use your brand, your benefit, by showing them, giving them that immediate gratification, but then also have them realize that there's some sort of long-term effect to that?
Oh, that sounds hard to do.
It's hard. Yeah. It's really, really hard. It's hard.
Because everyone wants that kawaii smoothie, but they don't necessarily want to run a marathon in 2 years' time.
No, for sure. And for me, certainly, I'm not involved with product design as such, but it's really looking at how can you frame the marathon so that it actually is, you know, up there with the smoothie.
Yeah.
Sure.
And trust is a huge factor in influencer marketing.
Yes.
Obviously, we're going to zero in on influencer marketing because
that's
where we come from. Do.
Yeah. And so, does it matter where the message is coming from?
I'll give you
We're looking at it from a scenario, brand versus somebody in my circles.
I'll give you such a good example with the theme of trust in the behavioral linguistic space. I mean, to answer your question, certainly in South Africa over the past couple of months, there's been all these sort of legislation things that have come into play, hashtag ad, all of that sort of thing. And I think that has eroded a lot of the authenticity of the messaging. I think in a good way, people are far more aware that, you know, the idols that they're following, the celebrities or the influencers online, you know, they're being paid to promote a lot of brand products and services.
Right.
So it's very transparent.
Yeah.
The example I wanted to give you from behavioral science is called rhyme as reason effect. And this one just completely blew my mind when I researched it. So essentially what it's saying is that if you make your call to action rhyme, people are far more likely to believe that it's true and credible.
Seriously?
And
how does that even work?
And they're far more likely to buy into whatever the idea is, if that means to click something and to subscribe to something or even purchase something. 67% more likely are people if it's rhyme is reason effect, if it rhymes.
Why though?
So
how does our brains work?
They've done a lot of work to try and figure this out from a sort of neuro-linguistic cognitive psychology point of view. And what the researchers suggest is that most people grow up in a caregiver environment where there are nursery rhymes or stories or sing-alongs. And the person delivering that message to them, whether it was a teacher or a parent or a grandparent, you trusted them.
Yeah.
And so inherently, we've grown up with the idea that if it's a sing-along voice or this some type of rhyme, the message was given to us by someone we trust. So we trust what that message is, and we trust that person.
That's crazy. That's
absolutely nuts. Yeah. Absolutely nuts. I mean, yeah. I must say, I now look out for it very specifically. Yes. And who knows if it's working on me, you know, unconsciously. But certainly, I'm now aware of it. And I look out for these sort of TV jingles or radio ads.
Okay. For
listening
sure.
to hear, yeah. is it rhyming, and what are the words saying?
And also, how does it make you feel? So I'm just going to start speaking in rhyme from now on.
Now that you, yeah, now yeah. that you know it, though, look out for
Call
it.
Me Little Dolly.
Yeah. And so what would make a message not to be inherently effective?
I think any communication that isn't crafted with very specific intent is okay. not going to have its desired reaction.
Strategic thinking comes in as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. Even if you have 5 words to play with, okay. you need to sit down, you need to look at each and every one of those words. Is there pronoun usage? Is the sentence passive or active?
Yeah.
I spoke to Anne about this the other day, taking agency away from a sentence. So an example, women are killed, and sorry, this is quite an intense one, but
it's relevant.
Absolutely, yeah. because yeah. of the Am I Next movement, which is some research that I'm doing at the moment. Women are killed. That's a very passive sentence because I've taken away the agents at the end of it. You can imagine the end could say by men or by criminals okay. or whatever you want to say there.
Yeah.
You can remove that little bracketed bit, opposed to an active sentence, which says men kill women or criminals kill women. And okay. by removing agency from a mm. sentence, it really distances you from the message that's being said. And a lot of people aren't able to take accountability or to understand yeah. societal issues
yeah.
as a result of just sort of very cloudy language being used.
Mm. Look, yeah, we've seen a lot of cloudy language over the last couple of weeks. I think
sure.
it's very controversial. So, Lee, the fun things.
Yes.
What are some top tips that you can give marketers and influencer marketers in particular when it comes to us trying to start instilling this in our strategies or to our brands when we try and explain to them, like, this is great, this might work better?
Storytelling absolutely would be top of mind for me, but it's story framing. So
okay.
you need to, as an influencer or as a brand briefing an influencer, you need to sit down and decide, what is the end message? Are you trying to get someone to buy into an ideology? Maybe that's just brand love or brand affinity. Or ultimately, are you asking for their followers to buy your brand or your service?
Sure. Yeah.
And I think soft sales are definitely far more accessible to people and far more persuasive. Gone are the very marked days where you yeah. heard money back guarantee, buy this 2-for-1 special.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
that's all just become so noisy.
Yeah.
So it's about sitting down with them, understanding their voice, their reach, their different audience, what their interests are. Can you tie something that might be completely different in their world, one of their hobbies as an example,
yeah.
to right. your brand or service
yeah.
that then just really compels them to speak quite passionately about it. And then also obviously for the message to be delivered in an authentic, sincere way.
Yeah.
Well, that is our goal always, right?
Yeah.
And we always tell them, storytelling, be authentic, stay true to your own voice.
And watch those pronouns.
And watch those pronouns. Yeah. yeah.
I see a lot of questions coming out from our audiences and as we interact with them on social media. So how do they get hold of you?
So the best way to get hold of me would be through our social media platforms.
Okay.
We're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, we're on LinkedIn and Facebook. All of those platforms, just search for Breadcrumbs ZA
okay.
at Breadcrumbs ZA. And we'd love to chat to people and see what their thoughts are on persuasive communication, give some tips. Obviously, we tweet a lot of case studies and yeah. amazing research.
Yes, you do.
I'll give you one example from last night that I found so great. In Sweden, they've started to use behavioral linguistics in the health space, where blood donors now receive a text each time their blood is used to save someone's life.
How wonderful.
Okay. So you'll right. go in and yeah. you'll donate your blood, and let's say a week goes by, 2 weeks, whatever, you'll get a little text to say, thank you for your last blood donation. You've
yeah.
helped save someone's life. And obviously, that message is a powerful one.
Very.
And it's still early days. They've only just started doing it, but they're seeing a huge, dramatic increase in repeated blood donations. Because obviously, you want somebody to go back and do it again and again and again.
Yeah.
As many times as it's safe.
And everyone likes to know that they save someone's life, right?
Exactly. So hugely powerful.
It will make me want to go back and donate more because I've already saved one person's life. Maybe I can save another one.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the emotive economy. And that's obviously cheaper than putting up billboards and 20-second spots throughout the month.
Do they work, billboards?
Yeah. And I think that's a great point. The reason why behavioral linguistics is so exciting to me is that it's accessible. Anyone can use it. Once you've started researching these principles, once you've had a look at some of the different tools and tips, you create your own little toolkit and you can use it, as I said, professionally, personally.
So basically linguistics or behavioral linguistics can be used across the board for marketing. So it could work on a billboard too?
Absolutely. And in fact, in those cases, when it comes to above the line stuff, I think it's probably even more important because how many seconds do you have with the person driving past that billboard to grab their attention and to have words that really stick with them.
Yeah, so it needs to be very single-minded and, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, sense.
And any last word?
Please follow me.
Where do we follow you?
Influential SA, without the I, guys. We start with the N on Twitter and on LinkedIn. And then, obviously, please follow the podcast on Facebook and spread the love.
And please download on iTunes and let's keep the conversation going. Until next time, we love you, but we have to leave you.
Peace out.
Out.